On Easter Day, we have a story called A Happy Day. It was very early, the birds were still in bed, and the sun had yet to open its bright eye on the world. The sky was grey and grainy, the air was cold, and three women walked slowly towards the graveyard. Jesus was buried there, and the women were coming to visit the grave. They talked in sad whispers. They cried. They held each other's hands. Jesus had been dead for 3 days, and they missed him very much. Just as they reached the graveyard, however, some surprising things happened. The ground began to shake, the air began to tremble, and quick as lightning, an angel flashed down from heaven and rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb. Everything went quiet. The ground stopped moving, but the women shook with fear. "Don't be afraid," the angel said. "Come and see. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive." Arm in arm, the women crept past the angel and into the tomb. The sheets were still there, the sheets they had wrapped round his dead body, but Jesus himself was gone. "Where is he?" asked the women. "What have you done with him?" "I told you," smiled the angel. "He's not dead anymore. He's come back to life, and he wants you to tell all his friends." The women looked at each other. They didn't know whether to laugh or cry. They could hardly believe it. That is, until they hurried out of the tomb and ran straight into Jesus. "Oh, Jesus," they cried. "It's true. You are alive." And they fell at his feet, amazed. "There's no need to be afraid anymore," he said. "God has made everything all right. But I have a job for you. I want you to tell the rest of my friends that I am alive. Tell them I will meet them on the seashore in Galilee, where all our adventures first started." The women waved goodbye and hurried off to Jerusalem. The birds were singing now. The sun's bright eye was wide open, and they had the most amazing story to tell. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So we have got the most incredible story to explore together today. But I've got a question, first of all. If you come to the assemblies, I do, you know I always have questions. My question is, does anyone here like those police TV shows or dramas or the medical programs where they have to try and find out what's wrong with someone? I love those investigation programs where people are searching around, trying to find all the different pieces of the puzzle so it fits together and everything suddenly makes sense. Because once you've looked at all the different parts of what's happening, when you take a step back and look at all of it, you see that something amazing has unfolded. So this morning, I am going to need your help. We are going to become investigators together as we explore the story of Easter Day. And I've got a few pieces of evidence, which I'm sure haven't been fabricated and are definitely 2,000 years old. And we are going to have a look at those things and see what they tell us about the story of Easter. Well, the first thing that I have got, this is always promising. I've brought it wrapped in a plastic bag. Because, as much as anything, it's what this smells of that is going to be part of our story this morning, part of what we're trying to have a look at. Let's see if I can get this open. Now, for those who don't know what this is, it's an aroma diffuser. I don't necessarily suggest this is the one that you want in your bathroom. Can you just have a little pass that along at the front, have a good smell? So we're going to see how far along we get. Anyone want to have a guess as to what it might be? Some blank faces on the front row, it's promising. Good news is there's lots of you here today. We've got time until someone decides to pass it back. My one advice as you pass it back, be careful it has liquid in it and try not to touch the reeds too much because sometimes it can just be a bit itchy on your fingers. Anyone who's had the joy of smelling it so far want to have a guess what it might be?
Shampoo,
absolutely, because nothing says Jesus rather than fantastic, glamorous hair. It's my shortfalling as a vicar that I can't do that anymore. Not sure my hair was ever really long enough to do that. Anyone further back? Do you want to have a guess?
Oak?
Anyone else? No? Not sure. Obviously, everyone on the side aisles knows, they get it straight away. It's just the people in the middle who can't guess it. So oak is the nearest guess so far. We've passed it to the aisle so they know what's going on. Do you want to have a guess?
Pine,
there we go. Now, Helen actually is bang on. This does smell of pine needles, mostly because in all the moving of house, I couldn't find my myrrh. Myrrh has this incredibly kind of, it does smell a lot like pine needles that's kind of going around. And do keep passing that around so everyone can have a smell of it. The first thing that we encounter in this story is some women going to a tomb. And one of the things that would distinguish them on that morning from other women who were moving around and going to places is that they were carrying with them, in all likelihood, spices and burial things. And one of the things that they would take would be myrrh. Now, as you can see from the screen, it's this kind of resinous, gloopy stuff, but it burns as incense and you can mix it with oil to bring a fragrance. Because our story starts somewhere quite difficult. You see, the women are heading to the tomb, not in joy, but in sorrow. If we were to encounter them on the road, they would be full of sadness because what they're carrying are the last features of the burial rite of Jesus. The women heading to the garden with a grim purpose to go and see if they can finish burying their friend who died just before the Sabbath day when it was forbidden for them to touch dead people so they couldn't finish what they ought to have done for their friend and their master. They carried with them the scent of sadness as they went. Now, we do have a problem in our investigation. The problem is that our key witnesses to everything that's going to happen are a group of women. And please, don't hate me for this, women were lousy witnesses. Because in that century, they didn't know what we know, that women are wonderful, intelligent, articulate, wise. Please forgive me for telling you that you're all lousy witnesses. But in a court of law, women wouldn't be able to stand up and give testimony as to what happens. So it's really interesting that the people we meet in several of the gospel accounts going to the grave, first of all, are the women. In Matthew, which is roughly what the reading we've heard is based on, that's who we meet. The Marys going to the garden to bury their friend. But one of the things that's interesting is that if you were going to make a story up, you wouldn't choose unreliable witnesses. So lots of people say when they look at the story and see the women heading to the tomb first, that actually the fact that it's written that way tells us something important. Not just that these women were doing what all women would do around death, of burying their loved ones, but they were most likely the people who really did go to the garden on that day. Now, I could do with a volunteer for the next bit. We are going to meet someone at the tomb, and I need someone to help me out. Brilliant. Do you want to come up, Sebi? That'd be amazing. He saw the shield first. Can you be a Roman for us?
Yes.
So you've got a shield. Okay, brilliant. And I've got a sword for you as well. If you want to, you can kind of shove your hand. Yeah, brilliant. Perfect. Brilliant. Now, what I need you to do is look very intimidating and guard the front of the stage for us, please.
Like that.
Perfect. Brilliant. Now, the guards were really important. As you can see, Sebi's very intimidating. We don't want to try and get past him. He is very, very highly trained. And if anyone tries to sneak past him, they will stoop. There we go. He will stop us. Brilliant. It's just as well. It's going to make doing the rest of the service tricky, but it's fine. Roman soldiers, when they were guarding somewhere, knew that they couldn't ever leave. They had to stand their ground because the Roman soldiers were a very disciplined lot. As you can see from Sebi, they've got all of their equipment. But compared to the number of people they looked after, Roman soldiers were almost always outnumbered. So the way that they got round this is by being very aggressive, very violent, and very committed to what they were doing. So if anyone tried to get past them, the Roman soldiers would stop them. I distracted you. There we go. Good. The threat of death has come. But if Sebi were to abandon his post, something... I should have told you this before you came up, actually. If you abandon your post, your commanders are going to have you killed. You won't leave. Perfect. He's already trained in the Roman way. It's brilliant. So the Roman soldiers knew that they couldn't leave where they'd been sent to guard until someone else came and gave them different orders or some other guards came. So one of the questions we've got about that Easter morning is, was Jesus still in the tomb? We read in the Bible that on the Friday a stone is rolled across, but the whole of Jerusalem had been a real mess over the weekend. Pilate wanted to keep control. So he sent guards to be next to the tomb so that no one could cause trouble and steal the body of Jesus. The guards standing by the tomb mean that for the whole of the time since Jesus was put in there, there is no way that anyone could have got Jesus back out again. Not with amazing guards stopping people, brilliant, coming and in there. But if we read Matthew's gospel, are you ready to completely overact about something?
Yes.
Brilliant. What happens in Matthew's gospel is that angels arrive and the Roman soldiers are terrified and they fall down as if dead men. Perfect. And scene. Brilliant. So they didn't leave, but when the angel arrived, they fell down as if dead men. We don't know whether they then kind of what happened to them, but the women could then approach the tomb without fear of being attacked by the guards because they were out of the way. Sebi, that's amazing. You can recover now. Fantastic. Do you want to just see if you can prop up our shield next to our... That'd be perfect. Land the sword somewhere nearby. So we are reminded that the tomb was guarded. So the body is definitely, definitely still in the tomb. There is no way that anyone could have got it out. The women arrived there, coming to do their task, coming to bury their friend. And what happens next? The angel arrives. The Roman soldiers fall to the ground, and the women, being made of sterner stuff than Roman soldiers, are told by the angel, "Do not be afraid. Jesus is alive." I don't know what the women thought in that moment. It's really hard to know whether they were excited, terrified, or just confused. But the women are told that Jesus is alive. But if women are unreliable witnesses, angels are even more difficult. While they always tell the truth, they do have a tendency of disappearing without a trace. So I couldn't find you any angel evidence. So we have to join the women for what comes next. They sneak to the very foot of the open grave, the open tomb, and they look inside. And what is it that they see? Do I have one more volunteer? Come on, Isaac, you come and help us out. Perfect. Stand there facing this way. Brilliant. What they found inside were the grave clothes. This is the second of my children who's been wrapped up in... That's nice and still. Perfect. Second of my children who's been wrapped up in grave clothes recently. Perfect. Nice and still for me, sir. So what they found inside or what they were expecting to find was something like this. Jesus wrapped in cloths, lying where he'd been left on the Friday. But they didn't even find something like this. Okay, you can spin now. Perfect. Brilliant. Fantastic. Do you go and sit down? Because Jesus has escaped. I always think this is a bit interesting in the gospel. It tells us that the piece where his head was neatly folded, and the rest was thrown on the floor, proving that Jesus was, in fact, a man. So they look inside, and rather than seeing a neatly wrapped body, what they find are the empty grave clothes, which would have been wrapped up so tight that you wouldn't have bothered trying to take them off unless the body was going to walk out of there. If someone had stolen the body, why would they have left the grave clothes in the grave? It makes no sense. But if you're wanting to walk out of a grave, it's really difficult if you're wrapped in grave clothes. So Jesus escapes the grave clothes and leaves them in the tomb. The women walk inside and look, and they see the tomb really is empty. So no one could have stolen the body. They haven't carried the body out in his grave clothes. They've been left on the floor. And that's when they meet someone as they turn around. As they walk away from the grave, that is when they meet Jesus. They recognize him. They fall to his feet and worship him. And Jesus tells them to go and tell his friends and everyone that he is alive. And that's exactly what the women do. They leave, they run, they go everywhere and tell people. And the word spreads that Jesus is alive. There are several other encounters between people and the risen Lord Jesus. Everything has changed in that moment. But our investigation still needs one more piece. If you've ever watched the really good kind of crime films and things like that, you'll always know you have to go for the paper trail. So one more volunteer would be amazing, please. Come on, people. It's Easter Day. There might even be chocolate in it. Come on, Trish, that's brilliant.
Oh, you need to say something
about chocolate. Well, that's it, yeah. I knew how to draw you to the front. So, brilliant. What we're going to do, we've got the paper trail. If you could just stand up here, that'd be fantastic. Let me just find the right page. Trisha is going to just read us part of... Let's get to the right page, sorry. I should have put a bookmark in. Here we go, Matthew, brilliant, perfect. Just Matthew 26, please.
Just the whole of Matthew 26?
Just start there, that'd be brilliant. Off you go, yeah, perfect.
Awesome. Well, I can't read it in this language. Would you like me to make it up?
So, because I'm kind to my ordinand at all times and wish to encourage her in her ministry, I've asked her to read it in the original language, mostly because I can't do it myself, although I suspect we might have some people who would do better than me at the Greek. One of the things that's really interesting about all of the gospel narratives, thank you, I've just played a mean trick on you, really. Give Trish a round of applause as well. If you need chocolate, there's some in the box. One of the things that's really interesting about the paper trail of Jesus' resurrection is it starts getting written down really quickly. People write down the narratives of what has happened because it's so important that they really want to share it with as many people as they can. And what we can see here is a fragment from Matthew's gospel. This is what it would look like. It was written on papyrus. Written in what's called Koine Greek, which was the nasty trick I played on Trisha. And that's what this is. It's all written in Koine Greek. And if you've never seen it before and want to have a look, do come and have a nose. But it was written in the language that everyone in the Roman Empire would have used to be able to talk about things, so that as many people in the Roman Empire could understand what was going on as quickly as possible. Koine Greek was the language used in commerce, in business, in the way in which things were written down. And very quickly, word spread. The paper trail becomes vast, and there are more copies of the early manuscripts of the New Testament than any other written documents before the invention of the printing press. There is more evidence of Jesus being alive and serving and doing his ministry on earth than there is of Julius Caesar being real. The paper trail tells us that something amazing happened. And it's not restricted to the pages of the Bible. If we look at Roman historians, they too were writing that Jesus of Nazareth was said by his followers to have come alive. That's what Pliny the Younger writes in his Roman history, because he's trying to tell something of the most incredible story that goes on. So between the smell and the task of the women coming to the tomb, the Roman soldiers guarding it so that no one could take Jesus away, the grave clothes left abandoned, and the paper trail that tells us, all of this evidence tells us that first Easter morning, around 2,000 years ago, something incredible happened. All of this is true. And that leads us to a really important question. What do you want to do about the truth of Jesus coming alive again? Do you want to trust in the story that is told, in the narrative of a man who came to earth, God born amongst us, who suffered and died for us and rose again, and invites each of us to follow him, put our trust in him, and gain the promises of hope and eternal life? Or do you want to reject that story, despite all of the evidence that it is true? If indeed it is true that Jesus really did come back to life 2,000 years ago, then we have the most incredible story to tell. And we need to do what the early church did, which is to go and share the good news of Jesus. We need to let that good news dwell in our hearts so that we are filled with the hope and joy of the resurrection, so that we have the strength to stand in a world when things can be so hard. But because Jesus rose again, there is a promise for each of us. That death is defeated, hope has been set free, and the kingdom of God grows every day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, your love that surrounds us, your love that put Jesus on a cross to give up his life for us. But Lord, we thank you that you are a God of power and might and authority, and you call Jesus to rise again from the dead. But the truth of his resurrection is one of the most amazing things in the whole of human history, and that it transforms the whole of human history and our futures. We pray, Lord God, that your spirit would rest upon us to let us accept that truth in our own lives, that we might declare with all joy and hopefulness that Jesus is alive. We ask all of this for his sake. Amen.